Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
He is operating in the moment that I was born, and he's also at the same time operating at this very moment, 6 years later from my birth, when I was on a back porch, kneeling down by a back porch swing, and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Hey, he's still operating in the moment I was reborn, watching over that moment, protecting that moment. The ever-present God that is always present is still in the moment that I got saved.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicott, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
The Lord is my shepherd. The verb here is written in the present participle form. Let me tell you what that means. If we were to rearrange this in the Hebrew so that it made the most sense to us as to what David was really saying, our English says, the Lord is my shepherd. Here's what David probably said. He probably said, the Lord is shepherding me. I like that. Because the Lord is my shepherd puts the emphasis on the shepherd, which it should be, but the Lord is shepherding me puts the emphasis on what the shepherd is doing. The Lord is shepherding me. It's the present participle verb that allows us to read it that way. He is a present tense action type of shepherd. I want to spend some time on that thought right there. We serve and are loved and are shepherded by a present tense God. We are shepherded by a God of right now. Right now, David did not say he was my shepherd, even though he's looking back over his life and remembering a whole lot of ups and downs and all those times that God's promises were true. He said what he said, and he meant what he said, and he did what he said in all those moments in his past, but he didn't say he was my shepherd. He didn't even look at his past and see all the faithfulness of God and therefore allow him to look to his future and say, he will shepherd me, even though I know he will. He didn't say he was shepherding me. He didn't say he will shepherd me. David said what? He is. He is shepherding me, the ever-present, present-tense God of is. Okay, let me show you a couple of verses and explain this even further. John 8:58, Jesus is confronted by some Pharisees, and he says this one line right here, which the more you think about it, the more it will give you intellectual constipation. My wife's going to get on to me for saying that later. And I don't know about you, but this makes my brain come to a screeching halt when I try to think about it hard. Here's what Jesus said. And Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, now watch, before Abraham was, I am. Now think this through with me for just a moment. I graduated from Hallsville, Texas. My brain's not the brightest one in the box, okay? This is tough for me. He said, before Abraham was, from the moment that Abraham was born and all the time on the timeline from that day past, before Abraham was, every day before his birth, Jesus said, I am presently in that moment right now. Before he was, I still am. That's a present tense God. Okay, so let me take it to a little more real concept. Here's where my mind goes with this. You believe Jesus is in this room with us right now? You believe the Word says that we're two or three gathered in His name, that I am in the midst? You believe that you are saved, that He's with you at all times, ever present, not just around you, but living in you? You believe that? Then I believe He's here in this moment. He is shepherding me right now. But He's timeless, y'all. He is not bound by time. He does not live on a timeline like you and I do. See, this is how you and I operate. We're in this moment until the next moment arrives. Then we step forward on a timeline. We can't go back, and we can't move forward until the next moment. We're stuck right here. But when the next moment comes, we move forward on the timeline. Jesus is not stuck on your timeline or my timeline. He is the God that operates outside of time. So he is in this room with us right now, isn't he? Amen. But let me tell you something that will blow your mind. At the same time that the ever-present God is in this room, he's also at this very moment, in that moment I was born on October the 17th, 1979. At this very moment, he is still operating in the present 40 years ago on the day I was born. Right now, he's still there. Some of you just went, what? It's hard for us time-bound folks to think of it that way, isn't it? He is here right now. He is operating in the moment that I was born. And he's also at the same time operating at this very moment, 6 years later from my birth, when I was on a back porch, kneeling down by a back porch swing and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. Hey, he's still operating in the moment I was reborn, watching over that moment, protecting that moment. The ever-present God that is always present is still in the moment that I got saved, making sure that that moment is always well cared for. He's in the day of my birth right now. He's in the day of my rebirth right now. He's in this room with us right now. And at the same time that you and I are speaking and shaking our heads and amening about this ever-present God, he is operating somewhere in eternity, looking at me, a whole, perfect, and glorified David. He's looking at me the way I'm going to be in that sweet day. And let me tell you, how you know you're going to make it to heaven one day? Because Jesus is already there talking to me about it. I ain't made it yet, but he's already there. Before Abraham was, I am. He's the ever-present God. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very, what? Present help in times of trouble. So when is our time of trouble? When is our moment of need? Hebrews 4:16 says, come therefore boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. When is that moment? When is that time? Let me tell you when it is. It's right now. You are presently in a great moment of need. You say, David, well, I didn't raise my hand earlier when you asked if anybody was going through issues. I'm doing pretty good right now. Things right now are going right. Well, let me tell you why you're in a moment of need. Let me tell you why right now you're in a desperate moment. Here's why. Because you got a dependency issue. And I've got a dependency issue. And every person that's ever drawn breath on this planet Earth was born with dependency problems. So we like to label that, you know, throw that on somebody that's got a drug issue or an alcohol issue. I want to tell you, they're just part of the group with everybody else. We've all got dependency issues. David, what in the world are you talking about? I want to tell you what I'm talking about. Now lean in real close and listen to what I'm about to say. This might help you. You and I were created to worship and to serve our Creator and to be dependent upon Him to shepherd our lives. He made us that way. You ever heard somebody talk about being born with that God-sized hole right here that only Jesus can fill? You got a dependency problem and you were born that way. You were born to be dependent upon Him. But here's the issue that we all have. When we rebel against what we were created to be, when we rebel against who we were created to be dependent upon, the only option that we have is to be dependent upon something else. We are going to be dependent upon Him, the one that created us to lean upon Him. And if you don't do that, you will find yourself dependent upon something else. You're going to be dependent on something. Drugs, alcohol, another human, sex issues, money, power, fame, pride. Hey, just yourself sometimes. So I would advise you this morning, as we're gearing up for revival, to take a look at what is it that you are dependent upon. And I want to advise you to get into the process of learning how to become dependent upon Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you will attach yourself to something that will use you and abuse you and forsake you. Sheep were designed to need a shepherd. You were designed to need a shepherd. That's why I think the song hits home so well. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That's dependency. We are dependent upon the God that is. The Lord is shepherding me. I don't know what you're going through, and you may feel like God's a long ways off. Maybe you don't think you've heard His voice in quite a while, and you're struggling. Hey, don't lean on how you feel. The Lord is shepherding you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And when you wander away from Him, He will shepherd you. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let me spend a few moments on the word want, and then I'll close this morning's service out. I shall not want. I spent a little time on YouTube listening to a Jewish rabbi give some thoughts on the 23rd Psalm. It's definitely not my normal case. I don't do that often, obviously. I don't ever turn to a Jewish rabbi to understand the Word of God. But if you want to understand Hebrew a little bit, they tend to know more about it than me and Brother Ernie do. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. They speak it. Amen? And so I was just kind of interested in what that man's concept was about some of the thoughts in here. And one of the things that I did glean from it was this. This line, I shall not want, here's what he said it means in the Hebrew concept. The Hebrew mind would have taken it this way. I will experience no lack. Nothing will be missing. The Lord is my shepherd, and nothing is missing. The Lord is shepherding me, and I will experience no lack. Okay? So that's the concept here. Let me make a statement. Here's what I want to do. I want to make a quick statement, and I want you to respond to me immediately. So as soon as I say it, the first thing that pops in your mind out loud, I want you to speak it. And don't worry, it's not a trick question. Okay? Everybody at the same time. You ready? Respond to the statement. And here's the statement. Here it goes. Jesus is all you need. Amen. Every time I've ever done that, that's what happens. Amen. Yes, I agree. All throughout the room. Jesus is all you need. I agree with that too. He's all I need. Well, then here's the question that follows the statement we all just agreed to. If that's true, then why is it that we are constantly looking for help from other sources? Think about it. If we all agree that He is all we need, then why is it when you catch some physical symptoms, health symptoms, that you don't know what they are, the first thing you do is go to Dr. Google. Click, 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 click. What does it mean when hair grows out of my eyeballs? Well, I've got cancer. Everything on the internet's cancer, right? Don't do that. Can I give you some advice? If you get sick, don't go to the internet and ask it what's wrong with you. You're going to go crazy if you do that. But if Jesus is all we need, why do we respond that way first? If my day is down and I'm feeling broken, a little bit depressed, you know where I tend to want to go first? Her. Right? Now, has God given me her as a companion, my wife? Sure. And is she going to fill that role and those needs as I would try to fill them for her? Absolutely. So are these resources from God? Yes. But why do we go to them first if we know He's really all I need? You know, I'm going to go to Him first, right? And let Him say, I tell you what I want you to do, David. I'm going to supply your need and your physical health problems. And I'm going to send you to the doctor. I'm going to give him everything he needs to take care of you because I'm your shepherd and I'm shepherding you. You following me? One of the reasons why I think that we tend to do that, even though we believe that He's all we need, is because we are more focused on what we want than what He knows we need. We tend to be more focused on what our desired outcome is. I want this to happen. I want it to happen this way and in this timeline. And so I'm going to take on whatever I have to get this to happen for me the way that I want it. And I'm going to go after what I want rather than what He knows I need. It is a plague among church folk. It's not just one knucklehead in the room that does this. All of us do it. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 are fantastic concepts. It says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Watch this. And you are complete in Him. You are complete in him. That word complete is a really neat Greek word. It means to fill it up to the top. Fill it up to the top. If I take a coffee cup and I fill it up all the way to the top, that coffee cup can want more all day long, but it can't have any more than it's already got. You are complete in him. You are filled to the top when you are operating in him. He's already done it for you. He's already made you complete. Here's another verse that says something very similar. 2 Peter 1:3, in his divine power, he has given us all things which pertain to life and godliness. Let me ask you this. When you think about life and godliness and you've already gotten all things, what more do you need? He's given you everything for life. He's given you everything you need to walk a godly life. And you and I are wanting more. You know, when I grew up, we called them spoiled brats. Right? We are complete in him. We've been given all things through him. And in that same moment, I say, yeah, but I want that. If my shepherd is shepherding me, now hang on, I'm going to make this point quick and I'm going to move to the end. If my shepherd is shepherding me and has done it with completeness and has done it with all things and everything I need is right here where he is, anytime I turn toward what I want, what I'm doing is I'm leaving what I need. Anytime that I turn toward what I want, it's because I'm leaving that which I need. My shepherd has promised to supply, adequately supply, all my needs, to give me all things to make me complete. Therefore, he is not very interested in also supplying my wants. Think about it. If I've poured myself out for my children, done everything I can do to give them everything I know they need, and all they do all day long is whine about what they want, how does that make me feel? How do you think our Heavenly Father feels when he's already poured it all out? You know what happens to us when we want and we want and we want? It turns quickly into stress and anxiety and worry because those wants never will fulfill. And when we are seeking after wants and we find we are not fulfilled and we are not satisfied, they equate into care and to worry and to anxiety. How many worriers in the house? How many people now have a trouble now and then with worry and anxiety? Let me tell you why we do it. I'm going to use a big capital W, capital E. Why we do it. It's because we are after the things we want, which are not working anyways. And we're not satisfied with the supplied needs of a perfect shepherd who is shepherding me. It's convicted me, y'all. I wrote this down. Supplied needs result in contentment. Supplied needs result in contentment. Watch this. Sought after wants will never fulfill, and unfulfilled wants eventually result in worry, stress, fear, anxiety. Once I finally grasp that God desires the very best for me, I'm going to conclude this point and then close. Listen. This is very important for somebody here today that's you worn out with it. You are worn out with life. You love Jesus. You don't question that he's your Lord and Savior, but life is whipping your tail. Let me speak to your moment. You ready? Once I finally grasp that God desires the very best for me and that he is able to perform it perfectly, I will no longer worry. I will no longer doubt or become anxious about the circumstances of life. Watch this. I will no longer want for a version of life that cannot fulfill. For I will rest in the knowledge of the present and perfect love of my good shepherd, and I shall not want. The love of God, my shepherd, is perfect in its desire. perfect in its understanding, perfect in its ability. He is shepherding you. He is shepherding you. He knows what you need. He is able to supply it, and He desires to do it. Oh, that's good news. He knows what you need. He is able to supply it. Watch this. And He wants to. The Good Shepherd loves His sheep. He is my shepherd. He is shepherding me. I have no reason to want. I want to close with a story, and then Brother Ernie will have a response time, an altar call time. The story goes like this. A group hired in a great speaker, a great orator. We don't call them that in the South. A hired speaker. They brought this man in to entertain the crowd that night. So he takes the stage and he begins to recite by memory great poems and monologues, and some of them familiar, some of them not, but he quoted Shakespeare and Dickinson and Blake and Robert Frost and Edgar Allan Poe, and he had prepared all of these prepared speeches, and he was able to do all that, and boy, he really grabbed a hold of the crowd that night, and emotionally he just held them in his hands, and they went back and forth, and by the time he was done, they were just thrilled with a clap and an ovation. And then he kind of did something they weren't expecting. He said, okay, we got a few minutes left, so I'll take requests. What would you like to hear? A few hands go up. First hand he really noticed was an older gentleman leaning against the back wall. And he recognized the older gentleman. He said, yes, sir, you have a request. The old man said, I'd like to hear you recite the 23rd Psalm. Well, the public speaker was kind of taken back by a request of Scripture, but he had remembered the 23rd Psalm from his youth, and he said, okay, I'll recite the 23rd Psalm, but I'll do it on this one condition. I'll recite it, sir, and when I get done, you recite it. The older gentleman said, fair enough. And so the speaker began, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The man finally finishes to a standing ovation. And amongst the clapping, he turns to the older gentleman in the back and he says, sir, the stage is yours. The elderly man makes his way to the microphone. The crowd gets quiet and he begins to recite the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He comes to the end. There's not a sound in the house. There's not a dry eye in the house. The speaker looks at the man. He looks at the audience. He's really taken back by the change that he's witnessed. He looks at the gentleman and he says, I really don't understand what just happened. And the old man replied like this. He said, sir, the difference is this. You know the 23rd Psalm. I know the shepherd. Do you know him this morning? Do you know the shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you had a moment in your life? Can you look back over your life and you remember the moment that Jesus reached out to you and you submitted your life to him as Lord? And he became your shepherd. Do you know him? I can stand before you this morning and say, without a doubt, unequivocally, he is my shepherd. He is shepherding me. And I have no reason to want. Stand with me. Sister, just play something soft. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the shepherd. So many things about the 23rd Psalm that I have been blessed with. So many moments of scripture and enlightenment he's given me. You know, one of the things I see, and I don't know if one of the other guys will bring this out this week, the good shepherd leads his sheep. It says it multiple times. He leads us. He doesn't drive us. He doesn't force us. He leads us to the green pasture. He leads us through the valley of shadow of death. He leads us on paths of righteousness. He leads us for His name's sake. I believe in this room right now, there are those in this group. God brought everyone here for a reason. You're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. You have been led into this room. And I believe in this moment that the Holy Spirit of God is walking these altars, beckoning, calling. He said, "My sheep know my voice." Well, maybe you're hearing the voice of the shepherd this morning saying, "Come here. Come to where I am. Come on down here. He'll wait for you in these altars. He'll lead you in the most beautiful moment, just you and Him." Maybe it's time for you to lie down and experience the pasture land of the Good Shepherd, the still water that He's able to give you. Maybe it's time to have your soul restored this morning. I don't know what you need, but He's leading you. So as she plays softly, Brother Ernie will be here to meet with you if you need a prayer, if you need encouragement. I'll do the same. But if you just need to be led to this altar to get where He is, get your heart and your mind ready for these next few services, I want to encourage you. Follow the voice of your shepherd. Hey, He's shepherding you this morning. Would you follow Him?
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.